San Luis Obispo, your home on the Central Coast, 1340 KYNS.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Graphic testimony again in the sex abuse trial of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky.
The second accuser to take the stand here said when Sandusky started kissing him and rubbing his back, he thought, he sees me as part of his family and this is what his family does. The testimony then became graphic and emotional, breathing in slight gasps, then sobbing. The teenager described Sandusky having oral sex with him. I spaced, he said, blacked out. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't just say no. Under cross-examination, the defense brought out numerous discrepancies in this accuser's various statements to investigators about the times and dates incidents occurred and whether he performed oral sex on Sandusky. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Bellefonte, Pennsylvania.
Closing arguments in the Roger Clemens perjury case. Federal lawyers saying Clemens lied to Congress when he said he never took performance enhancers and that impeded the congressional investigation. As for the defense, it said Brian McNamee's a longtime liar and can't be believed.
Several times as Clemens, wearing a dark suit, sat in the courtroom, his lead defense attorney, Rusty Hardin, pointed at him and told the jury that Clemens is being prosecuted for no good reason, that his former trainer, Brian McNamee, has lied repeatedly, and McNamee should be facing perjury charges.
That's CBS's Dan Raviv in Washington. The beginnings of some containment of the wildfire near Fort Collins, Colorado, maybe 5%. Larimer County Sheriff's spokesman Nick Christensen.
The number one priority is to stop the fire, protect the structures we have in place, and the absolute top is life safety.
In New Mexico, the wildfire near Rio Doso has spread across 56 square miles, and nearly 1,000 firefighters and 200 National Guardsmen are battling that blaze. Jobs for teenagers are disappearing. The Labor Department says fewer than 3 out of 10 American teenagers will have their usual summer jobs. More than 70% of teens, 16 to 19, won't be working, as older workers, immigrants, and even college grads who can't find bigger jobs mow the lawns, wait and bus the tables, and handle the fast food positions. On Wall Street, the Dow up 117 points, Nasdaq's gained about 19, and oil prices around $83 a barrel. The Federal Elections Commission has given the green light to allow text message donations to political candidates. Mark Armour is a consultant for Democrats and a promoter of the idea.
It's a real game changer because the FEC just unlocked an entirely new fundraising stream of millions of small, easy donations.
Approval by the phone companies, which is required, could happen in plenty of time for the November elections. The judge has ruled 5 suspects in an alleged plot to destroy a bridge near Cleveland will stay in jail. Federal prosecutors said the terrorism plot was foiled by the FBI, which provided the dud bomb to the suspects, who allegedly went so far as to press the trigger in hopes of blowing up that bridge. This is CBS News.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose Safe Light.
Get 50% off any Domino's pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer, prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
Early evening is time to go inside in a lot of places.
Experts say combine the time of year and the conditions recently, and what you've got is prime time for mosquitoes.
In very large numbers.
Entomologist Dr. Dale Polley at the LSU Ag Center says many communities are having success spraying from trucks and planes to kill the mosquitoes with insecticides.
Very low doses that affect the mosquito population.
But he says people have to do their own part to protect themselves from diseases that mosquitoes carry. And it's not only humans that can contract illness from mosquitoes.
It'll affect your dogs and cats, like heartworms and what have you.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
People who live in Middleboro, Massachusetts, said it's enough with teenage potty mouths. Residents voted yes to a $20 fine for public swearing. not, says the police chief, to censor casual or private conversation, but the loud, profane language that merchants say hurts business and lacks civility. Cursing is not a crime, but you could get a ticket for it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
Get 50% off any Domino's Pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's Pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer, prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
It's Tuesday. Hey, no guests today, just you and I. You and I are going to do it together with Al Green today, as we're going to do it together with.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
I just decided Al Green. Maybe it's actually the President of the United States. I can't tell who's singing. Anyway, you're with Bill Benica. Thanks for joining me on. Today was foggy, barely foggy this morning. We were supposed to have some fog again tomorrow and maybe the next day. But it's just a guess. Nobody knows for sure. They pretend they do, but they don't. Anyway, so we're and John Lindsay over the weekend, he was saying, what's with these winds? I mean, he would say he's the weatherman. He's been around for years. And he goes, what's with these winds here in June? This is not supposed to be here in June. It's supposed to be here in May. So I've told you, I've decided I don't. There's no way to know what the weather's supposed to be. There's no typical weather anymore. There's just, you throw that out the window. Whatever you always thought was going to be, it's not so anymore. All right, I thought we'd start with this because it's just kind of fun. And I thought we'd get a kick out of this, I hope. Let me make sure I know what I'm doing with that thing. All right. You start with a cage containing five monkeys, and inside the cage you hang a banana on a string from the top, and then you set a pair of stairs under the banana. Before long, a monkey will go to the stairs and climb toward the banana. As soon as he touches the stairs, you spray all the other monkeys with cold water. After a while, another monkey makes an attempt with the same result. All the other monkeys are sprayed with cold water. Pretty soon, when another monkey tries to climb the stairs, the other monkeys will try to prevent it. Now, put the cold water away. Remove one monkey from the cage and replace it with a new one. The new monkey sees the banana and attempts to climb the stairs. To his shock, all the other monkeys beat the heck out of him. After another attempt and attack, he knows that if he tries to climb the stairs, he'll be assaulted. Next, remove another of the original five monkeys, replacing it with a new one. The newcomer goes to the stairs and is attacked. The previous newcomer takes part in the punishment with enthusiasm. Then replace the third original monkey with a new one, followed by the fourth and the fifth. Every time the newest monkey takes to the stairs, he is attacked. Now the monkeys that are beating him up have no idea why they are not permitted to climb the stairs. Neither do they know why they are participating in the beating of the newest monkey. Finally, having replaced all of the original monkeys, none of the remaining monkeys will ever have been sprayed with cold water. Nevertheless, not one of the monkeys will try to climb the stairs for the banana. Why, you ask? Because in their minds, that is the way it has always been. That, folks, is how Congress operates, and that is why, from time to time, all the monkeys need to be replaced at the same time.
Wow, Dad, this store is rocking.
That's because we have this cool, new, insanely European cabinetry, Kelly.
Like
Sonia Vanities with gorgeous finishes and these stunning designs. And just look at this Fairmont design piece with state-of-the-art European engineering and fire clay ceramic sinks. Just close the drawer pull on that baby.
It feels like slamming the door on a luxury car.
You know, Kelly, a great bathroom begins with high-tech quality cabinetry like this. And when folks come into Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and see these bold new products, it sets up a chain reaction. They start thinking about improving their quality of life every day.
You know, this stuff is so spectacular, it makes me want to buy a house.
Hang on there, Kelly. I can't exactly afford that. Would you settle for a chocolate shake?
You're just like Ozzie Nelson, but Mom is so much cooler than Harriet.
Kelly!
Oh, Dad, don't forget to tell everyone. They're just going to have to see for themselves at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Everyone wants the best health care available. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an amazing system for mammograms. 5-minute exams, half the radiation, and computer-aided detection that diagnoses 20% more cancers. San Luis Diagnostic Center is the only facility to offer digital mammography and breast MRI under one roof. Plus, if an abnormality is detected, they are the only facility able to perform the full range of biopsy techniques, stereotactic, ultrasound, and even MRI-guided biopsies. When it comes to complete breast care, think of only one place, San Luis Diagnostic Center. A doctor's referral is not required for a screening and digital mammogram, so call them at 542-9700. If you've had a prior mammogram done elsewhere, the friendly staff at San Luis Diagnostic Center will get your prior mammogram to compare with your digital mammogram if necessary. With such a complete line of breast cancer diagnostic services, why go anywhere else? Call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700. A 5-minute mammogram could save your life.
Save your life right there. All right, and San Luis Diagnostic, they do such a great job. Now, we're going to hear from Karen Scott next, and it'll be the wrong address. I'm sorry, I have some old commercials I found. Luckily, I found them. And then Tom's working on prying into my hard drive on my old little computer, see if he can get the stuff, extract what I need. How that's done, I have no idea. But he understands that stuff. All right, so here we go. Let's do our highlight in history according to the Tribune today. Our highlight in history on June 12, 1942, Anne Frank, a German-born Jewish girl living in Amsterdam, received a diary for her 13th birthday. In it she wrote, "I hope I will be able to confide everything to you as I have never been able to do with anyone, and I hope you will provide much support and comfort." Less than a month later, Anne and her family went into hiding from the Nazis. On this date in 1665, England installed a municipal government in New York, formerly the Dutch settlement of New Amsterdam. 1776, Virginia's colonial legislature became the first to adopt the Bill of Rights. 1967, the Supreme Court in Loving v. Virginia struck down the state laws prohibiting interracial marriage. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan, during a visit to the divided Germany city of Berlin, publicly challenged Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down this wall. And they did. Remember how happy we all were? Remember that? The new bad guys appeared. Birthdays day, former President George H.W. Bush is 88, singer Vic Damone is 84, jazz musician Chick Corea is 71, and actor Jason Mewes is 38. We'll say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's yours. I forgot my birthday thing. I apologize. I'm sorry.
JBL, Boston Acoustics, Bose, Sony, Marantz, Yamaha, Sansui, Koss, Sennheiser, Altec, Lansing, Alpine, Craig, Dual. Which ones help you lose your hearing? Baby boomers are lining up to see audiologist Karen Scott, and no wonder. Think of the concerts, think of the heavy metal, think of the noise, think of the damage. It was only rock and roll, but we liked it. If you started to notice that your hearing is getting worse, or people are shouting at you telling you that it is worse, it's time to see certified audiologist Karen Scott in San Luis Obispo by French Hospital since 1978. She can test your hearing and show you some other great electronics to help you fix what those audio electronics did to your hearing. Maybe you have ringing in your ears that is not your cell phone. Another casualty of the day that the music died. Bring it back. Bring back the sounds of the ones you love. Bring your own self into Karen Scott's office today and get your hearing handled. Karen Scott, certified audiologist at 1985 Johnson Avenue, or call 541-1790. Your kids and grandkids won't need all that special equipment we used to have. They'll be able to zap their hearing with a little pocket-sized gizmo called an iPod. Ain't technology something? Call Karen today, 541-1790.
In the Walther Building, next to the DMV, that big green building, three-story building there on the third floor, that was a nice view and everything. Anyway, and they're there now, so they've moved and everything. So I go see Karen Scott. Steve's on the line today. We're going to say hi to Steve. Hi, Steve. Steve, do I have you? Are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, Steve, give me one second. Somebody changed something. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know who sneaks in here and changes this. I don't know why they change it. I have no idea why they change it. All right, let's try it again. Hello, Steve? Steve? Let me try something else, Steve. Hello?
I'm here.
Now you're over there on the phone. Wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. Hello? Call me back, Steve. Hey, you know, sometimes the technical stuff goes really well here.
Yeah, really? When was that?
I don't remember when. Okay, I hope he doesn't think I was hanging up on him, because I'm not. I just screwed up. There he is. Okay, here he is right there. I hope this is him. Here we go. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
There you are. I'm sorry. Things went wackos on us there.
Yeah. Cute story, but about the monkeys, but I don't think there's any analogy that correlates with what's really going on with Congress. I'm not sure what the point of the that little story, but you get rid of all the monkeys and you bring in a bunch of new monkeys. The problem is that they have already been indoctrinated with the ideology of, you know, what's going on with the, especially the right-wing program. That's what's really going on here. You know, the strong correlation to say that, you know, everybody's got a problem is inaccurate.
The problem really in Congress is that you have, is that people, I think the point of the story is that people constantly do the same things and they vote the same ways and they just operate the same way they've always operated. And somebody new goes in, you elect somebody new and they go in there and they look around and say, okay, this is the way it's done. We always think that if we put somebody new in there, you know, this idea that if you put someone new in there, it could change something. The only people we've ever put in new that changed anything were the people that quit after they served one term and said, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Well, I'm leaving.
You know, what we did last, in 2010, we put a bunch of new people in there, and what we do, we make things, you know, 5 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just became total gridlock, and, we had a lot of jobs bills that were ready to go that had been over at the Senate, 2010, Boehner was running around going, where's the jobs, where's the jobs, you know, we're all about jobs here, and since 2010, they haven't done one jobs bill, through Congress. You look at all these people, the Tea Party people that got in there, and it's all about ideology. You know, these people were already, hit with the cold water before they got put in the cage. So, the analogy of changing everybody's is ineffectual. The thing is, you got to, put good people in there that are going to do the job, and they're voted by the people for the right reasons because they've had a chance to talk to the people, and the people see that they're going to work for them rather than working for the corporations that are sponsoring their campaigns.
Hmm.
And that's what's been going on. A lot of these Tea Party people were shoved in there. There was just tons of money that was put in there from their, to get these people, elected, from all different types of PACs. And that's what's, so they found all the crazy people to,
Well, Mitt Romney, this is interesting. I would think, is a disappointment to the Tea Party. I mean, Mitt Romney's not Tea Party-ish.
I think Mitt Romney is whatever
people ask him to be.
Whatever they want, whatever which way the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking the other day about we can't have firefighters and teachers and things like that, subverting the will of the people, all those kind of good stuff that we're not here to support teachers and firefighters and police and things like that, because they're not as American as everybody else is out there, trying to earn a living. And at the same time, he's saying, well, what happens, are we going to do massive cuts in the government employee roles? And I said, no, that will produce a recession. know, so he's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, Steve. If you had, and you don't have to answer this because it's none of my business how you vote, but I have a question I'm curious about.
I'm a liberal Democrat.
I know you are. But if you had a choice between, if you actually had a choice this year between Barack Obama, voting for Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton, who would you vote for, and why?
I'd vote for Barack Obama.
Okay.
Because I think he's an amazingly intelligent and disciplined individual who makes his decisions very pragmatically, takes as much information as he can to make his decisions, and I think he's done a good job with that.
The problem is,
I think he's very thoughtful. I don't think he's swayed by other things. I think he's trying to do everything he can to appeal to both sides of the political fence, incorporate as many ideas of the Republican Party as possible, and not trying to be all, Democrat or liberal or, I think he is just the opposite of what they are trying to paint him as being the socialist, communist, fascist, freak that's out there trying to subvert the American Constitution. He's just exactly the opposite. And I think he's done a good job, but it's the media. And you got to remember that the media is just like a shark. It's a feeding frenzy. You put a little blood in the water, and they just, all the stuff with Citizens United and all the money that's going into it, who's the big benefactor of this thing? It's the media, because they get all the money. They get all the advertisement dollars. They get all this stuff going on. This is just a huge boon to the media industry. So all these little darlings, all these talking heads, everybody's just happier than hell that, way things are going down. And, so you grab each little tidbit and you just beat it to death for the next 48 hours in the news cycle. And then you move on to the next, little blurb that somebody can misconstrue or distort. It's the money in politics, and it's the media that is just a very complicit player in this whole process, and it's disgusting, and it's totally subverted our democracy. We don't have a democracy anymore. We we don't even know that our elections are being run properly. There's no paper trail. There's no cross-checking. The elections that happened up in Wisconsin, the polling coming out of the booths, said, wow, this is an amazing turnout for, Barrett. The people are just coming out in droves, and saying, we just don't want this kind of politics anymore with, pitting, one segment of society against another. And then, lo and behold, Walker, walks away with the win for the day. And nobody is checking the polling records. And the same equipment is being used in Florida, when it's checked, has found to be defective, to the degree that, whole elections for state and federal government have been, accidentally called for the wrong guy, the loser, and they've had to go back and recount every vote and make and confirm the fact that the guy who was originally said to have lost was actually the winner. And none of this stuff is being done. Walker was called for the as the winner long before any of the results had been turned in, but the exit polling was definitely in favor of Barrett. So why is that? That to me sounds like 2000 all over again, where George Bush won Florida,
mm-hmm.
and then he lost Florida. So we have no idea what the heck our democracy is doing anymore. We have no way of doing any checks and balances because of the way these voting machines do, and there's no proofing of anything. There's no verification of anything that happens anymore. There's no cross checking. Our democracy has been totally subverted by corporate interest, and the media is just sucking up to it big time, and
let me ask you a question about the media. Do you think exit polling,
we should be horrified as a nation what has happened to our country, and we are just sitting there saying, duh, you know, we're, you know, the American people, you know, I've said this before and you disagreed with me. I think the American people are generally stupid. And we believe what we're told, and we just don't use our intelligence half as much as we should.
Well, if Prop 29 is any example, you're entirely correct. Half the people were convinced by the big tobacco industry that, you know, this tax would somehow affect them, and it affects them not at all.
No, not at all. And, you know, and it just, until we get money out of politics, things are not getting any better.
It's headed the wrong way with that.
Okay, here's another example of why, you know, we are so stupid as a country. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of scientists worldwide that are doing studies from, you know, what's happening with, climate change and the phototplankton and, effect on different species in the world and things like that. And they're saying some very, very scary, dangerous things that say in many ways we've gone past the tipping point, you know. And Republicans are saying, you know, you can't even say sea level rising. You can't say climate change anymore when you're talking in state Senate houses. And, they're controlling the dialogue with saying these kind of phrases are liberal catchphrases and we shouldn't be allowed to be able to use them in part of the dialogue and discussing, you know, laws and, about what's happening with our environment. Meanwhile, you get, you know, all these Tea Party people that get voted into Congress in 2010, all of them, to the last one of them, are global warming or global climate change deniers. You know, this infuriates me. These people are condemning my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, to a planet that is going to be suffering and failing. And it infuriates me to no end. What is the worst thing that's going to happen if we are wrong in saying this is just a cyclical thing and things are going to turn around? What's the worst thing? The oil company is going to make a little bit less profit. You know, we're going to have to, you know, make the planet a little bit healthier. Those are the worst things that could be happening, you know, if we say, you know, we are, you know, that this was just a cyclical thing and that we were, you know, overexcited about the fact that, you know, we're in climate change. But if we are right, if climate change is really happening, and we're not doing a damn thing about it, we are condemning our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and those children, generations down the line, to a death of misery and starvation and horror. And I, for one, makes me so damn mad, I just want to just smack the shit out of them.
Okay, sir.
I'm sorry for the word.
That's all right. We got to take a break anyway because we're down.
I apologize. Sorry about that. I didn't mean that.
I'm glad. I hope you got out what you wanted to get out, Steve, and I appreciate your call once again. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye.
Nobody ever says, it's just cancer. Get over it.
Or snap out of it. It's just diabetes.
And who would ever say, it's nothing serious. It's just heart disease.
But you do hear those words about people living with another serious illness.
It's called depression, and it threatens the lives of more than 15 million Americans.
Like heart disease, its symptoms can be misleading.
Like diabetes, it's biologically based.
And like cancer, it can be fatal.
So what we should say is what doctors, medical professionals, and other experts say. Depression can be treated.
Which is why those who have overcome it say, getting treatment is like getting your life back.
Depression is real, but so is hope. Learn more at depressionisreal.org.
Supported by a coalition of organizations, including Mental Health America, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the National Medical Association, and the National Urban League.
you like it is. Honey, please love me if you will.
Hey, baby.
I'm tired of being alone here by myself now. You, baby, sometime I wonder if you love me like you say you do. You see, baby, I've been thinking about it, yeah. And I've been wanting to get next to you, baby. You see, sometime I fool moms, I say, oh, oh, baby.
Hello, Al Green. Forgive me for that little pause of pause in there, but I just got a phone call and I thought, okay, well I'll answer it off the air first, you know, and see how that's going. And then it turned out to be brave Dave Pratt, who was my Navy buddy in Vietnam. So we chatted for just a little bit there, and then I screwed up. But the day's already gone a little bit different than the average day, has it not? Yeah. Okay. That's all right. Yeah. Let's do a Spencer's Fresh Market because this is the last day you can enjoy some of these great deals. Is today Tuesday or Wednesday?
Today's Tuesday. Yes, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, Bill. You fool?
All right, so here's what's going on at Spencer's Fresh Market today. Don't forget you can get spaghetti for two for $5 and dollar tacos today. And then don't forget the 8-piece bucket of chicken tomorrow, which Nancy and I are going to do. Boneless New Yorker ribeye steaks are just $4.99 a pound right now at Spencer's Fresh Markets, where freshness is local. And also they have all kinds of other wonderful things. And don't forget Stouffer's entrees. For his entrees are 5 for $10. That's $2 a shot. And they have red seedless grapes, which I just bought some of, which are absolutely yummy, $1.99 a pound. The fruit, for some reason, here's more fruit. Sweet nectarines, $1.99 a pound. You know the global warming thing that Steve was talking about? It's made the fruit better or something, because all the fruit tastes really good these days. California sweet cherries are $1.49 a pound. They're locally grown. And we have fresh blueberries for $1.99 for a little package or 8-ounce package. So get all that. Don't forget the deli department has all the great boar's head meats and cheeses and everything, all the salads, all the hot foods to go at night. You don't want to cook at night. You go shopping. You say, oh, wait, I'm just going to pick up some tri-tip, some meatloaf, any of that kind of thing. They got that. They got all the most Mexican specialties and everything. They just have the thing. And the meat department, they will, if you need a yak, they will get hold of it for you. So make sure you go to Spencer's in 5 locations on the Central Coast and enjoy San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Rio Grande, and Santa Maria. There's somebody on the horn here, and we're going to horn in right here. Hello?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Adam.
Apropos of what Steve just called in, he's certainly right in being highly upset. But there's something even worse than what's coming down is that we seem totally incapable of learning even from recent history. There is a bill in Congress being pushed to modify the farm subsidy program into and create a kind of crop insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that can happen with that is if a farmer, basically his crop is insured against drought, you know, they have crop insurance now. But what it does is it gives an incentive for a farmer to buy marginal land and farm it. And if things go bad, at least you've got your nickel covered.
Right.
Now, they tried that. There's two books people really should read. One is called Bad Land by Jonathan Rabin, and the other is The Worst Hard Time. And you can see exactly the same thing happened at kind of the turn of the century in the 1914s. Government policy and the free market and an unusual weather pattern that created wet weather over the Midwest for several unusual wet weather for years. Farmers moved west. They got their 40 acres and a mule. They started planting wheat, breaking the plains, planting. They made lots of money because it was a good crop. The rains were great. Then they bought more land and more. And more often than not, they were working land that should never have been broken, ever. Mm-hmm. And after a few years of high times, the weather reverted to normal. But now you had busted plains. And, of course, you know what happened.
Right.
It was a dust bowl.
Right.
One of the worst ecologically. So we're looking at that same kind of process being encouraged now. It's like no one learned anything. And we're going right back to the same page. And it's like we have just erased our memory. It's really amazing. It's just bizarre to me. Like, no one even bothers to kind of check to see if there might be some unintended consequences to the stuff they do.
Is there, however, let me ask you this, Ann, is there new ground to be broken? Is this going to reach into areas we haven't seen before?
Oh, Lord, yeah, because right now there's a lot of marginal land out there that's very risky to farm. The Oglala Reservoir out there, they're running out of a lot of water there.
Really?
But if you have insurance, you're much more likely to buy more land, plant your crop, and hope for the best. And if it fails, at least you've got your nut covered, basically.
Right.
But, which is fine, but the land has now been plowed up.
Well, here's the other thing, too. That what makes it not fine is, besides the fact it's a bad idea, what makes it also not fine is that, guess who's going to pay for it?
Oh, everybody, because, yeah. You know, in that land that we're seeing pretty bad things happening in the West with the fires in Colorado and the weather pattern changes where, like, Texas had a really, really bad drought. And that land dries out and burns up, and there's nothing left to hold the soil. 1,000 years ago, you could have vast prairie fires out on the Midwest, and they did. They had huge things right. That would burn for weeks.
Right.
But the buffalo grass out there in the prairie sod was so thick and deep that it would hold the soil, even if it had been burned. Now, when you plow that up, you break it. You break open that sort of thick covering, and then it just washes away or blows away, and then you end up down to just nothing. And it's that kind of stuff. And as long as, like, right now the market for, say, wheat goes up worldwide because we have more and more people that want to buy wheat because they need to be fed, farmers are going to say it's supply and demand. They're going to move into doing exactly that. And if there's subsidies for doing that, you're going to get risky behavior. The problem is, like you say, when it fails, everybody's going to pay a really, really bad price.
Well, here's another interesting enough that you say that about the subsidies, because recently, as you know, in Washington, they had circular arguments against, you know, should we have a subsidies as high as we have them, and should we always continue to do this? And it just ended up back with all the states that said, well, we need farm subsidies, saying we need farm subsidies, and the people that represent them saying, okay, we don't want to screw these guys. So it was like this idiotic conversation that went on for 6 weeks for no reason.
Well, there's farm subsidies that support agribusiness that just waste money and make big agribusiness rich.
Well, and that's
subsidies that
right.
have the side effect of ruining the environment, and then everybody pays for that. If you think about, for example, the big, huge hog factory farms back in the Chesapeake Bay region, that the crud from those massive, they have lagoons literally filled with hog poop.
Yeah.
And that gets into the Chesapeake Bay, for example, and then can threaten an entire fishing industry downline with all kinds of bugs that get into the shellfish and so forth. And nobody comes back and requires the hog farmer to pay to clean that up. It just gets dumped on the taxpayer.
Well, and then you have somebody like ConAgra that gets a subsidy, a federal subsidy. Do they need a subsidy? I don't think so.
They're job creators, Bill.
But you know, yeah, right, yeah, right. You know, and so we pour milk down the drains, and we pay we pay Jimmy Carter not to sell his peanuts, you know, to put him in a silo and let him rot. You know, it's there's some absurdity to what we're doing. Again, it makes for good politics for the people that represent these people, but it's for the rest of us that are actually paying for it.
Right.
It really sucks.
Well, there was a point to subsidies to kind of help balance out these massive market swings, glut. And then scarcity, glut, and scarcity that happened at the turn of the century, where you'd have just farmers pouring milk down.
Generally, now we have glut and glut.
Well, yeah, yeah. So I mean, there is that propping certain prices can help certain industries. So, of course, now the move, because we're overweight nation, they should start subsidizing fresh apples and veggies instead of corn sugar and flour, if they want to try to help America before we all die off from.
We're all going to die of sugar diabetes anyway.
Well, yeah, and then who's going
to
pay for that? There's some kind of really awful disconnect in connecting dots that I'm seeing going on, and it is scary, because if you can't somehow look at those dots and find that pattern, you're going to keep going down the wrong road. And of course, there is a lot of people with vested interest to make sure you keep going down the wrong road, because that makes them rich.
I would have to say that, let's go all the way back to the savings and loan debacle. Let's go back to that. Since that time, I think I've been stupefied, like Steve has been, about people ignoring global warming. I think I've been more stupefied by the amount of greed I see, in, not only in corporate America, but just in so many aspects of American life, that, people are amazingly greedy. And it's, can it take us down the tubes? I don't know. But I just find it really disheartening to see there's so much greed from people in every which way you can possibly imagine it. It's just out there. And maybe it's always been there. I have no idea. Maybe it's just easier now to get into a courtroom and get some money. I don't know. But
some of it, if you go back to this whole mentality of the Gordon Gekko, the go-go 80s, the me generation, the greed is good, I'm going to get mine. There's a free lunch, let the other guy pay for it. I mean, we created this culture that is now killing us. And it's amazing. Even Jeb Bush made a comment on, the Bloomberg News, that, we are a nation in decline.
Well,
and this from a,
sure.
And
we look
Bush
at,
brother.
But here's the other thing, too. The union situation that everybody's, now we're all, this has all come to the fore again here, and public unions are coming to the fore. People are all of a sudden against them and saying, okay, it's all wrong. But here's what is wrong is, it was never a moderate situation after the time that unions had achieved what was reasonable as a union. Then they started to achieve things that were unreasonable as a union, and yet they said, well, we should get ours. Now, I'm not blaming just the union. I'm not taking out on unions, but I'm saying it's all part of the same cycle and the same problem. And so, we have public employees that are making more money than God, and we have private union people that are making more money than God. And it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. We went from being mistreated as laborers to being over-coddled almost. And this is also causing great problems right now, obviously, because when a city like San Luis Obispo has spent a quarter of its general fund on pensions, and it's supposed to get worse than that for everybody, that's a disaster.
But all the public unions knew all of this was going on, and the politicians, the city councilmen, the city, all this, that, and the other, they didn't do anything at the time. It was like, oh, well, just go whatever you want,
Mm-hmm.
And they were banking on the bubble. They were banking that good times would always roll. They were not prudent in what they promised. They weren't prudent in even figuring the figures.
Right.
because it was unpleasant news and nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear that you have to pay more taxes if you want decent schools. And so you open the front page of the Tribune and the schools are going, oh, God, we're falling apart and we're poor. Sure. Should have been raising school bonds to fix schools 15 years ago, 10, 12, whatever.
It's easy to blame Prop 13 and just say, well, see, there was a lot of money for schools before Prop 13. Prop 13 made it so that people could actually stay in their houses. Middle-class people didn't have to pay taxes. I've said I was paying more in property tax per month than my house payment was.
Well, then you refigure your taxes and figure out ways to actually pay for stuff you want. But there was this entire mentality, and it really is kind of the conservative mantra. We don't need public schools. We need to privatize and voucher them. We don't need public roads. You want a road, go build it yourself. We don't need taxes to pay for anything except a strong military, and the rest of the country can just go to hell because I've got mine. The hell with you, there is no value in the commons at all. And that's been a mantra for 20 years, mm-hmm. 30 years almost. And the end result you're looking at. Now people are going, well, I don't think I'm real happy with this. Well, too bad.
And the other bad thing that's happened, I think, one of the seriously bad things that has happened to states is that, and then states steal the money from their communities, from their cities, and then they dole it out. The federal government says, okay, well, we're going to dole out money to the states, and you're going to start these programs that you can't afford to continue, funding, but we'll give it to you to start out with. How's this sound?
Yeah, see that?
High-speed rail thing right now in California. I want to put a gun to my head and go kaboom. Are you serious?
Yeah.
There is no possible way we should be doing this high-speed rail thing right now. And now they're trying to go, right to the wall again, say, okay, we got to get the funding. We got to put this thing.
Yeah.
We'll never get the federal funding. We don't put our money in right now.
Yeah, spend the money.
Don't put your money in right now.
So much of that is magical thinking. If we build a high-speed rail, all our problems will be over and we'll get pudding.
What are they talking about? What in the world is high-speed rail going to accomplish at this point in time? What do they expect high-speed rail to accomplish? Do you have any idea?
It will put some boots on the ground for jobs. But
they build that same amount
of money, for example, and put a huge chunk of it in Los Angeles for light-speed rail for commuting, and it would be utilized instantly and would relieve gridlock and do a tremendous amount for moving people around in Los Angeles.
People in L.A. don't seem to mind gridlock. Have you ever noticed when you go down there?
They've got some new light rail moving, like to the west side and downtown, that's really starting to get heavily used, and a lot of people are saying, hey, this is cool, and it works. And if you did more of that, I think it would be helpful. But it would be something that would work right now. It would employ people to dig holes in the ground.
Well, yeah.
But it would also result in a thing on wheels that actually runs and does get person A to job B.
But they're saying right now, to the tune of millions of dollars per month, per week, per day, per everything, that we'd have to subsidize high speed rail if we put it in right now.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's insane.
Sure.
I mean, that's just absurd. I don't understand. For people to move from L.A. to San Francisco faster, I still find it craziness right
now. At this point, no. If we were flush and we had solved our urban movement, then, yeah, it might make sense. But they don't have the ridership at this point. And some of it is, and I've seen this, you saw this with the Los Osos sewer, for example. Oh, quick, we have to get the money and start building something, anything. Just build anything so we can get the money. And then you go, no. Can we just hold off until we have the right something?
Right.
Well, and that's
right.
What I think you're seeing is do anything so we can get the money, and then we'll figure out later whether it's worth doing. It's nuts. And what's funny is human beings, we invented this kind of system and thinking.
It's another thing that struck me recently is if you go out in Edna Valley, if you go out Orchard Road, and they're replacing all the telephone poles. And, by the dozens, they're replacing the telephone poles. And I guess there's helicopters operating out there. I guess they're replacing some of the big, huge power line things, that are out there. But the interesting thing is, I look at and is the number of times that you've seen the road or the side of the road dug up to put some kind of piping in, new piping.
Yeah.
And we still run electrical wires on poles like back in the, you know, at the turn of the last century.
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird to me. It's like, you know, why, if you've dug these ditches for so long, for so far, why in the world are these poles still up?
Yeah, because it's cheaper to do it that way.
It's cheaper to do it that way.
Underground all the
But the thing is that you could do it.
Even though in the long run, it's much cheaper.
Sure, and you could do it piecemeal, but look at the number of times, for instance, the Los Osos Valley Road has been dug up to put optical cable to go to Hawaii, you know, from the terminus there on Los Osos Valley Road to go to Hawaii. Look how many times that road's been dug up, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, why didn't they say, okay, let's put the dang electrical wires in there?
Well, my presumption is that there are easements, you know, like, PG&E has one easement, the phone company has another, cable has another, and they all have to get on the same page and all chip in X amount of money and do a whole project together, and that would probably be like herding cats.
I think you're right.
And then a lot of people don't want to pay higher upfront. My sister worked for the phone company, and they were eternally fixing something, and then it would fall apart, and then they go back and fix it. And her comment was, why do they never have the money to do it right the first time, but they always have the money to do it two and three times over?
Right.
And that sort of seems the name of the game. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Boy, you know, I know people. I mean, I know very well highly educated people right now that have pulled in their boots, and they've said, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to the news anymore because all it does is make me depressed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't recommend it, but I have to say I understand why they do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you never picked up a newspaper anymore, you never turned on the radio, you never watched television, you never read a book, if you said I'm going to live in a cocoon right now, you would be pretty impervious to a lot of things. You really would be.
Well, there's a certain clockwork quality that's going on now, and it has the sort of inevitability of a time bomb. The American electorate at the last election put into office a certain number of people who are ideologues, who are utterly, absolutely committed to one form of action.
Right.
And they are implacable.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they will do what they will do, and there is no stopping them until the inevitable kaboom. So at what point do you say, well, there is nothing I can do because I already set this clockwork machine in motion, and now I simply have to wait for it to blow up?
The other thing, too, I think that's – and the guy that was – I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but the man who was replacing Ed Schultz this week was talking about it yesterday at length, and he was talking about, you know, you can call it what you want to, but there's a huge problem in Washington in regards to the president and Congress and trying to get things done because – and he went on and on about there's a racial problem with the president because he's black. I totally acknowledge there is. But the gridlock, I don't know that the gridlock would go away if it wasn't Barack Obama in office, it was somebody else, but I just don't think it would. I think we've now created this gridlock to a point that it's everybody's had their nose bloodied so bad and they're just going to go at it again that they're – I don't know if we can solve that.
Well, I think one of the questions is, would there have been a Tea Party if Barack Obama had been a white man? And my answer to that is no, there wouldn't have been.
I agree. And the same thing goes with – that's why I asked Steve. I said, you know, Hillary Clinton, if you had a choice right now between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who would you take? And he said, well, I'd take Barack Obama because he's an intelligent man. He seems to want to get things done, et cetera,
right,
et cetera. But unfortunately, Barack Obama is his own lightning rod, not by his own doing.
Right.
You know.
And then keep in mind, you have the McConnell, who is
right,
probably one of the most powerful people in Washington on the Republican side. The first day Obama arrived, he stated publicly that the one job they had, was to make sure this was a one-term president, period.
Right.
Not, they didn't say, we're here to solve problems, we're here to help the American people, we're here to follow the Constitution, whatever. No. Nope.
Nope.
And they have hewed to that right down the line.
We have another...
That, to me, tells you you've got a clockwork going.
Well, this is another
thing. And no one has control over it until the voters go back in the booth and they say, this is not working for me. I'm going to send a different band of people to Congress. One of the problems the American people have is they don't understand how our government works, and they expect the president to wave a wand, and it's Congress.
It's
not good hollering at Obama if Congress will not pass legislation or will not fund programs. They need to go holler at their elected representative.
It's like this thing about, I mean, honestly, if you took it, take the people we put in Washington, and it's like we say, you know, it's like that old thing about, you know, you keep the same mistake over and over again, and you expect different results.
Yep.
Well, you're not going to get different results. There's just no way.
Exactly.
And I even proffered this thought earlier before the elections, even the primary elections. I said, well, here's another way of looking at this. And I know this isn't political at all, but it's like practical. I said, if let's say you take Lois Capps and you hate her to death. You don't like Lois Capps, but she's been there. She does what she does. She's part of the club. And so she does. Now, if you vote for Lois Capps, then she keeps collecting her salary and her benefits and all that. If you vote Lois Capps out, she gets her benefits and her salary and everything for the rest of her life. But now you have to pay another person to be in there. So,
right,
so
but also keep in mind, if you vote for Lois Capps, you are going to be voting for what Lois Capps is going to vote for.
Right.
If
sure.
you vote for McCarthy, you're going to get what he is going to vote for. But a lot of people have no clue what their representatives vote on.
You can be assured
or
of this.
Why.
Okay, we can inform the public of this. You can be assured that the Republican and the Democrat are going to vote completely opposite of each other. There's never going to be a time when one says yes and the other one says, okay, I'll go along with your yes.
Well,
never.
There used to be.
There used to be.
It was called compromise, and everybody got half a loaf, and then they went on to the next piece of business. But what becomes ridiculous is when you have a voter who votes for McCarthy, for example, and then screams bloody murder because his Medicaid is cut out from under him, or his Medicare is evaporates. And you say, well, that's his platform.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
You know, I think that, and I'm sorry to see him leave Sacramento, but I can understand why he would. And I'll tell you a guy who I think has done a really great job, and it doesn't matter if he's a Republican or Democrat, and that has been Sam Blakesley.
He signed the Grover Norquist blood oath.
Well, he did do that.
And that.
Well, I thought, oh my God,
the zombies have got him.
But he hasn't.
And that was just tragic.
I know that, but he hasn't behaved that way, in my opinion. That's not really what I see in him. Although I do have to admit, that whole thing with Grover Norquist is like the craziest thing.
And see, Maldonado attempted a compromise, and he is now being punished and shut out of the holy Republican order.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the problem, and until the voters say to the ideologues, no, enough of that, and they reelect Blakesley and they reelect Republicans who actually are pragmatists, then they're going to get this kind of gridlock and insanity, and nothing will get done, and things will just get worse.
It reminds me.
So it's up to them.
It reminds me back in the days when
I've got someone at the door. There are the dogs.
Mailman's there.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
She has a pack of them, a herd, as it were. So when that starts going, you got to just say, I got to go. Time to go. Hey, we've had an interesting hour already, haven't we? We're going to have another interesting hour, I think, between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and talk about some of the things that are going on in the news. We're going to talk about Randy Reed, who's that homeless gentleman who has a guest on our program, and the latest in Sandy on Prado Road. We got all kinds of stuff that's going on in Syria. I don't know how come we're not serious about Syria, but somehow we're not serious enough, and so we got news out of there. and just a lot of stuff going on in our world. You and I will enjoy nice weather today, according to the Weather Wizard. It's supposed to be up in the low to mid-70s and right around 80 in North County, so it should be a nice day. This is 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. I'm Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network with my news and commentary.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. The latest, very graphic testimony from the sex abuse trial of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky has had another former assistant coach on the stand.
Extremely alarmed, extremely flustered, extremely shocked. Former graduate assistant coach Mike McQueary says that's how he felt after walking into a Penn State locker room late at night and hearing smacking sounds. And seeing Sandusky in a shower with a young boy propped right up against him, he said, with the boy's hands against a wall. He told jurors he saw this first in a mirror and then turned and looked directly at the two, and they were separated, staring at him. The boy, he says, was 11 or 12, prepubescent. He says he slammed his locker, went out and called his father, telling him it was, quote, sexual, wrong, perverse. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Bellefonte, Pennsylvania.
At the Roger Clemens perjury trial in Washington, D.C., closing arguments are over. The case is about to go to the jury. Where did Syria get helicopters for air attacks on rebels?
The State Department has criticized Assad for using helicopters to fire on civilians, calling it a very serious escalation. Now Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is stepping up the pressure on Russia.
We are concerned about the latest information we have that there are attack helicopters on the way from Russia to Syria, which will escalate the conflict quite dramatically.
Clinton says Russia's assurances that their deliveries are not contributing to the conflict are patently untrue. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, The Pentagon.
The U.S. Attorney General under fire. Senator John Cornyn called for the resignation of Eric Holder over the Fast and Furious gun-walking program. Holder refused to do that, but the heat hasn't stopped there.
Attorney General Holder condemned the recent leaks about successful intelligence operations and said he was questioned by the FBI, but defended his decision to have two U.S. attorneys lead the investigation.
They will do an independent and thorough job.
But Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he thinks the White House was behind the leaks and angrily demanded an independent counsel.
You're missing something here. I think you're missing the fact that this is a very big deal.
President Obama has called the charge that the leaks came from his White House to make him look better, offensive and wrong. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The FDIC has made it official, joining the Federal Reserve in proposing that banks keep more money in reserve, a much larger rainy day fund, to guard against the kind of financial crisis the nation faced in 08. Banking analyst Bert Ely.
It reduces the likelihood that banks will, in fact, fail.
It's part of the 2010 financial overhaul to be phased in over 7 years. Wall Street, the Dow up 162 points on the day. The Nasdaq gained 33. Oil, about $83.50 a barrel. A three-legged alligator with a bad attitude was shot dead near Gainesville, Florida, by state wildlife officers. The gator had attacked a swimmer in a creek near a homeless camp, shredded his shoulder, and bit him. This is CBS News.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yorgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Off the New Jersey coast, the exploding yacht, maybe not, though the emergency call to the Coast Guard sure sounded legit.
I'm in 3 feet of water on the bridge. I'm going to stay by the radio as long as I can before I have to go overboard.
Coast Guard says it gets a lot of hoax calls, but this one was so detailed.
Electronic array is down.
It sounded so real, they rolled out a major effort to save lives that evidently didn't need saving.
5 miles.
No sign of the blind date or the 21 people who had supposedly abandoned it.
Recreation area Sandy Hook Point.
No reports of any overdue yachts.
Pub.
Old Sage Lifter Honey Brown Ale versus an English style King's Shilling Pale Ale. The idea is to see what people like better, old style versus new. And so far, it's been a toss up. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Today, Roger, it's what saved people money on car insurance brings me to the shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to Geico. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for completely defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real mate. I think I've asked that candle store about five times.
For a free rent quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes would save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei. You need to work together. No problem. Welcome to the meeting with HD Basis by Citrix. The easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch your joint meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time. Review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Basis. Try it free today.
Chief President of Future. Hey, let me tell you about a couple things. Number one is, I want to tell you about what's going on there, because they have a new thing called the All-In Customer Guarantee. So here's the deal on this. They'll run the 30-day money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied with any service for any reason in the first 30 days, they'll give you your money back, hassle free. Number two, survey experience guarantee. If your technician arrives late or misses a scheduled appointment, charges more than having to get a $20 credit. Same goes with technicians unable to complete your scheduled service in one visit, which means you may have to spend money. Number three, the reliability guarantee. Charity knows how important reliability is to its customers, so if you're without service for more than 24 hours, you get a $20 credit. All you have to do is ask for the product promise to start a user unit that will provide additional functionality and service enhancements you haven't even imagined yet. So, in my case, that's not hard to do. But hey, we're starting to stop bringing more value. Charges all the customer guarantees and industry-leading commitment, making meaningful changes to improve the quality and consistency of its customers' overall experience. That's you and me. Chad, smart. Well, you know what? I mentioned there's going to be a trunk show at Max Shoes, and it's going to be the 16th, which is a Saturday. That's okay. And it's going to be a Merrill trunk show on Saturday. And it'll be a gift for purchase line. There's a Keen. I don't know about your brand. A Keen trunk show on June 23rd, same thing. Sales reps will be there. You know, you can ask them a question. You should grill them. You should really find out if you know what they're talking about. You know, you're not just running around, you know, calling clients and wearing some shoes. You should really talk to them about the shoes. Other things. Well, there's a medicine tree in AM, which is a tree instance report on our educational system. What's going on? One of the things is, I even forgot they had this. I saw this term, I go, I forgot we had this electives. Remember electives? Of course, we had electives, you know, there wasn't a great choice in New Jersey. Digging or shooting? Here was showing me, one of the things they showed was the class at his Pascal's High School, and they have some guys with pig, and they have an ag unit up there in Paso High, and then they got the Great Moral Bay auto shop thing that goes on there, that, you know, now that they can get into that, which is really a shame, but they're getting rid of everything. Get on the phone and say hello to somebody, have you?
Hey, Billy Boy, how you doing?
Hi, Mr. Mike. No, for a guy my height and weight, I'm getting through it.
We just barely lost you.
Hey, you know what I have to say, and you know that I'm pleasantly plump, but I have to admit, when we went to Melville on Saturday, we're getting pudgy here on the Central Coast, you know what I'm saying? Obama said to
McCain, look, the election is over. I won. I have the rules. That was his comment. Did that sound like he was willing to topple lines with anybody? And, you know, then after that, we've got things like, McCarthy. McCarthy is the one that tried to put through the idea that we would go back to the 2008 budget. The 2008 budget. Now, I assume that you know, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know. Every year, we haven't had a budget now for 3 years, and two of those 3 years, the Democrats were in charge, and they could have pushed the budget through, but they didn't want to do that because politically it just wasn't advantageous at the time. There are several job bills that have been put through the Congress that are still sitting at the senator's desk that is the head of the Senate, who is a Democrat from Nevada, and he won't even pick the bills up for vote. There has not been one budget that has been proposed by the Democratic side, except those proposed by President Obama over the last 3 years. And the last two of them that were proposed by President Obama, not one member of the Democrats would vote for it. So, you know, we're looking at stuff like I told you in the past. I'm not enamored with either side. I think both of them have their screw-ups. When you're talking about Wall Street having the problems and everything, who do you think we keep bailing out? We turn around and complain, not we, but the people in office turn around and complain and do the picture-taking and the whole bit. President Obama just a month ago complained about how that the things on Wall Street are at the top of the American people and how they're just so overpaid. That night, she was in a fundraiser at one of the heads, or not the head, but like one of the executives of one of the biggest Wall Street firms in the country. So it's a joke, and they're all playing it. And as I told you in the past, no matter who wins, us, me and you, are the ones that are going to end up short on the deal.
Well, and, I agree with that.
And Steve said the media was out there to get, you know, President Obama because of one thing or another. Well, let me tell you where the difference lies in that one. For over 2 weeks, remember when, I can't even remember his name now, the guy running for the Republicans, James, when Romney made that comment and said that he wasn't worried about the poor people, that they have a backstop, they have a net holding, keeping that from falling through. Well, see, that's what he said about, well, they cut it off, I'm not worried about the poor people. And they ran that with that for 2 weeks. Obama, the President Obama said that the private sector economy is fine. And there have been every news station, including Fox News, has tried to explain and walk back that statement from President Obama ever since then.
Has tried to walk with that statement?
Walk it back. Now, that's what they call when a Democrat makes a statement and it's stupid. Then you walk it back and say what you really intended to say or correct your screw-up.
I don't know. I've seen, I got to tell you the truth, Mikey. I've seen enough examples in the media and seen them on television and stuff, and that's all the media, and people saying, you know, that this was his foot in his mouth moment by saying that, and they're not apologizing for him or doing a walk back. I've seen a lot of people that say, you know, this was really stupid to say, you know, much like, you know, what Romney did.
That was stupid. But here's the point that you just made that's the most important point of all. As a matter of fact, today they have a thing on CNN that says, who would you rather have a beer with, you know, Romney or Obama? And when it comes right down to it, you know, when you look at the perception, they're going back over all the presidents and how people perceive them. And what is really going on here now, I mean, we're talking about $1 billion to elect a president. Well, that's not $1 billion coming out of my pocket, I promise you, for either one of these people. So, you know, there's enough money involved in this thing that, you know, I don't care. There's nobody that's a man of the people anymore. There's just that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. Today there was some type of show on the History Channel talking about when was the last president that wasn't filthy rich, you know, in one way or another. And if he wasn't rich when he came into office, he darn sure was when he left. So, you know, that those types of things, the money is the situation there, and people that are looking for power and power and money work hand in hand. But, you know, like I said, it works both sides of the aisle.
Oh, no, there's no question.
The three of you guys talking about this, and it sounds like that, you know, Carter was a nice guy. I don't think he's quite as nice now, because I hear all these corrections that he's made of his administration. And I think that you would have to admit, Bill, President Carter was one of the worst presidents of the 20th century.
Sure, but Carter was, here we go back to this thing. Carter was also, when you speak about rich, he wasn't like a poor peanut farmer. He was a rich peanut farmer. And
right.
the only difference right now between Obama and Romney, really, because Obama made quite a bit of money writing books and stuff before he went into office. Obama was well off. Mitch Romney's filthy rich. Either way, who cares? The point of the matter is that, you know, it has to do with who's going to spend how much money to make one of these people president of the United States, and that's going to be terrible. That's going to be a huge amount of money on both sides of that aisle. And it doesn't, Republican or Democrat doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter in any race we have anymore when it comes to, you know, people trying to run for office.
Well, no, it doesn't. But when you turn around, and this is the same thing I've heard for the last 30 years, and I'm just stating the fact that, you know, if you vote for McCarthy and then your Social Security or your Medicare is cut off, you've got no one to blame but him. You know, there's the fact that you voted for him. I mean, I have heard for 30 years that the Republicans don't want black people, Hispanics, to vote. They don't want to let your parents eat. They want your parents to be eating dog food. That they want your family to die. That they don't want your kids to be educated. My God, anyone with any kind of common sense in the world, that's just like the people that say that GM is building cars that are going to kill you because they don't care about you. They just want you as a customer one time, that's it, and then boom, you're gone. Come on. No one wants to eliminate a voting bloc. No one wants to eliminate their people that are purchasing their consumers, that are purchasing their product. And to think that to look at it mathematically on either side of the ledger is ridiculous to me. But I've been listening to it from two people, both of which sound pretty intelligent, but both of which are so myopic on their view that I'm sure that if they just saw an R in front of anybody's name, they would vote against them. No matter who gave it, was Jack the Ripper running on the other side.
Okay, I'm you know, today's the day that everybody gets to get it off their chest.
Like I told you, Bill, I'm not looking at either party as a particular playground of my future. But I'll tell you one thing. I know that I'm not better off now than I was. I know that there are businesses that as scared as whatever. I know that I've got a brother that he has a Midas touch, and his business now is losing money like a, trying to fill up a bucket with a colander.
Well, this is, today they said a recession erased 2 decades of wealth for families. That's a headline in the Tribune today. And it's, we all know it. Mike, you and I as friends have talked about the fact that we're doing worse than we were doing before. We should, at our age, with the amount of effort we put into what we do, we should be doing better than we've done before, but we're not. Things are going downhill. But we're not alone in that. It's everybody. And it's a shame. I mean, it's a real shame. And it's sad. It's very sad. The people, once again, the people that have more money than God, they're doing fine. They still have more money than God.
Right. There's always going to be wealthy. There's always going to be poor. But the wealthy are getting thinner as fast as the poor are getting thin. Did you see the latest thing on that? We've got 750,000 millionaires are no longer.
Really?
So, this stuff, we look at the people like the Gates, the Gates kind of fortunes, or the different guys, the Soros, the Koch brothers, whoever. And these guys are so far from the truth of what the real reality is that it's incredible. And it's the people that are running under the radar that we should be looking at, not the ones that are out in front leading the parade. But these, I just see too much happening, and to turn around and say, because I think somebody's economic ideas aren't working, that makes me a racist. That's what two people that I was listening to indicated. That wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't be saying those things if our president wasn't black. Well, I voted for him. At that time, I didn't care what color he was. I don't care what color he is now. The only color I'm worried about is the green that's no longer in my pocket. The amount of money that I'm going to have to pay over the next 15 years for my son's college education that I had to take out a loan on. Those are the things that I'm thinking about.
Something, Mike, let me say this, though. It doesn't mean that it's not a blanket statement that everybody in the whole wide world is a Republican or a Tea Party or something else that hates the president because he's black.
That's what Steve said.
No, I
Steve said that exact statement about the Tea Party.
There's
not one person in the Tea Party that believes in global warming. How does he know that?
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Any more than I could say every Democrat thinks that green energy is the wave of tomorrow isn't getting, that would be as moronic of a statement from my lips as what Steve said about the Tea Party people. And the fact that you said and Ann said that the Tea Party wouldn't have started had Obama not been a black president, I think again, how can you say something like that? The Tea Party didn't start as a racist group.
The Tea Party started
actually before Obama was even elected.
Wait, Mike, understand something. There's not a living soul in the world. I'm not going to say that. That's not true. Most of the people today who actually are dislike Barack Obama for being black are not going to say that. They're not going to say that.
Any more than those that bomb swarm are going to say that they did so because he's black.
Right. I agree with that.
Right.
Well, I think there's still a people.
There's racist on either side of it that's saying, this guy just, he's an idiot, he can't. I've heard that Wanda Sykes say today, comedian that came to the Central Coast recently, and she was making all of these statements about, that, we sure did do it to the first black president with this and that and whatever. And then at the end of it, she said, anybody that doesn't agree with him is just flat out racist. That's all there is to it. That's what she said.
Yeah,
guess what?
That was her statement, and I think that that is among the most racist statements that there can be.
And by the way, I'm not judging the world on Wanda Sykes' opinion. I think she's funny when she's funny, but otherwise, I don't care.
I don't care
who George Clooney thinks.
Everybody should be looking at both sides of the coin, because come November, we really need to know, or at least have a good inclination of what these whoever on all sides around us.
Here's the question. Here's the question.
Are standing on.
Let me ask you this question. I had to take a break. I had to take a break before. So let me ask this question real quick. So what in the world, what do you think could possibly change in Washington that we would have any control over, you and I as voters and the average person as a voter? What do you think we could possibly do to change the gridlock in Washington?
Eliminate the federal bank. That would be the first thing. Okay. Many people think that the federal bank is controlled by the federal government. It is not. It is privately controlled, privately owned. So that's ridiculous that we set our money standards by a bunch of bankers that figure out what the heck they're going to do. And then what I say is we get out of big business. We get out of any big business. I don't care what they think this business is too big to fail. If it fails, there's going to be somebody else there to pick up the pieces and start off with probably a better business. That's how the American system has always been.
Thank you, Mikey, for your call today.
Take care, Billy Boy.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I'll be honest. After high school, I wasn't really sure what to do.
I never had what you call a mentor. Someone helped me figure out what I was best at.
I needed guidance.
I know I needed discipline. And Mark helped me get squared away.
Squared away? That means you've got everything together, everything in its place. It's something I cannot have achieved without the guard.
In the guard, I learned to have a lot more in me than I ever dreamed. Physical stamina and career ambition.
The National Guard really helped turn my life around. Friends and family, my community, the other nation all can rely on me.
In the National Guard, I've gotten paid job training, money for college.
I get a steady paycheck, and I've become a leader.
I've got a plan for the future. I'm squared away. Thanks to the National Guard.
Visit 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD. And ask how you can get the discipline, education, and job skills you need to succeed in the National Guard.
Sponsored by the California National Guard, heard by the California Broadcasters Association and its station.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Guitar Chief. We're 24 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock our time, and we look behind to make sure we're not blowing away. Well, not today, we're not blowing away. That's really kind of fun. Because we were kind of fun with that. I forget how this thing works. It's that little device. I'm trying to use a little device that I've been offered to use. I'm trying to figure out how to make it happen. That didn't work. Forgive me for going this out here and making a fool out of myself, but it can't happen because it's something I've never used before. It sort of works. Sort of. Okay. It sort of works. That's it. Yeah. Other things are going on in the world. We have huge things that are actually going on in the world. The grand jury, by the way, says that they have evidence in the evidence rooms are all screwed up. With the police department, the sheriff's department, et cetera. I don't know, does the grand jury have a badge? Do you go to some place and say, I look at your evidence room? Is that like, can you do that? I have no idea. Other people in the news. Robin Roberts in the news from ABC, what's it called? Good Morning America. And because she's got a blood problem, but luckily she has a sister that's an exact match, so they're going to do a bone marrow transplant with her and her sister. And I've told you this before, and I recommend you do it. I mean, the chances of you getting called are one in a bajillion, but what if you're the one person that can save somebody's life, and they have a bone marrow donor program? And I'm part of that. They don't send you those letters. They don't do anything. They just, at some point, they might get something near a match, they'll call you. And so I was asked to go to Santa Barbara one time for another test, and unfortunately, that didn't match. So hopefully, whoever they were trying to match, matched somebody, I hope. But, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. You can save somebody's life. So I thought, then, just to tell you that. You're looking upon your own. All right, other people in the news. Wow, this is a weird thing. I had a story today. These people, there was a lady that was cheering for her son's graduation. You know, she was cheering when he got his degree and diploma. And so there was a diploma, high school degree, college, diploma. And so she was cheering too loudly. She was actually arrested. She was actually arrested for disorderly conduct. So now they're saying more and more. They're saying that they'll stop the ceremonies. And they're saying all of a sudden it's become this rowdy instead of this somber thing, which, you know, universities usually are somber. High school thing, graduation, becoming just kind of wacky. So what? Who isn't happy to be done with high school? Help. Ron Allen said it about Walmart. He said, I don't get it. I don't understand why this has happened to us, and I don't understand why we would pay for any part of it, which is what I said. I'm not a resident. I said the same thing. So here's another thing. I was going to look it up, and I didn't have time. I apologize for not remembering the name of the submarine that the Russian sailors suffocated on, because Putin wouldn't allow anybody near the sub to rescue them. And so here's the picture of this submarine that's being sent to Morro Bay as part of a museum. And it's called the deep submergence vehicle called Avalon, and that's what it was used for, was to rescue people from submarines. You can see there's a thing on the bottom of it with a hatch. Anyway, so we offered Putin Avalon and another one, and some other countries, and they said he was in his dacha and said, no thanks, we don't need it. And his men died. It was that right then that I sort of I could tell the cut of this man's jib, as it were, and realized that he was a cold-blooded son of a gun. Anyway, slows in the running for the friendliest small town again. Okay, and why shouldn't we be? Why? 630 applicants, 30 cities picked to compete in one of the five categories besides friendliest cities are vying for most patriotic, most beautiful, best for food, and most fun. Okay, let's leave it friendliest, I guess. Okay, friendliest. Other things are going on. Other things are happening. It may or may not drive you completely insane in the community.
Oh, listen, I got some stuff here I want to share with you. By the way, years ago there was a thing, and Elaine Bendis on Seinfeld was saying this lady at a party one time. She was bored. She says, the dingo ate your baby. Well, because years ago there was a case where an infant disappeared from a campsite, and the mother was first convicted and acquitted, and it's been going on. But now they have concluded that a dingo in Australia, you know, a wild dog, did in fact probably chow down the kid. That was in the news, but that's not what I was going to play for you. That's the other stuff that's just even crazier. Let me find it for you. Let me show you a minute. This is not surprising. So after we hear from, who's this, Mazda? Somebody. After we hear from Mazda, we'll play this story. My comment yesterday was, good for him. But, so a lot of other people now saying good for him. So, good for him. Got the hourglass. Yep. Can't even look at me on a computer like this.
The crossover. A rolling monument of compromise. We have the technology. Capable of building a crossover worth driving with breakthrough fuel efficiency. The only Mazda CX-5 will be that crossover. Better, stronger, smarter. Bigger Mazdas. Team 5.
This is the pause.
Did you hear what happened?
That's the pause of refreshes.
In Shiner, this town will be known for more than just beer.
Everybody was talking about the same thing, they would have done the same thing.
We don't know all the details in this case, but the people here say they know enough.
He got what he well deserved. And you say that nationwide.
It was Saturday afternoon in a pasture along County Road 302. A father told authorities that a 47-year-old man who helps with his horses tried to sexually assault his 4-year-old daughter.
The defense of her trying to get her away from him, and he struck her and moved her in the head several times.
The sheriff of Lavaca County says the father ended up beating the man to death with his bare hands and hadn't been arrested.
Do you think this father should be charged?
Sheriff Michael Harmon has children, too.
Let's go ask that question.
The people of Shiner don't need a jury on this one.
I don't think he should be arrested for it. I don't think any charges should be filed.
We couldn't find a single person who thinks the girl's father should be locked up.
Somebody abused my grandchild like he did. I think he deserved everything he got.
But she's 4 years old, that's fair.
Yes.
And, I know I should disagree and say, well, no, justice and whatnot. Like I said, I don't agree with you. That's how I feel about it. Sorry, I can't help myself. Sorry. Now we have another story that's like labor, and unfortunately it's not great. But this is like, the world is spinning near me. I mean, it's just is. It's wobbling on its axis, and who knows how long it will take. Who knows how long a pause will occur when I press the button and say, please play, you know? So here we go.
The crossover. Rolling monument of compromise. We have the technology. Capable of building a crossover worth driving with breakthrough fuel efficiency. The only Mazda CX-5 will be that crossover. Better, stronger, smarter. Bigger Mazdas. Team 5.
A distraught mother pleads for justice. She says her daughter's been raped, and shame has been brought upon the family. I want the government to help us, she says. If they don't, I'll tell them to come and kill my daughter, because I will not take her back. Killing a rape victim isn't rare in Afghanistan. What's rare is a rape victim speaking out. Her name is Lal Bibi. The 18-year-old's parents describe how armed men tied them up, then handcuffed and abducted Lal Bibi. Over the course of the next 5 days, they say she was beaten by her abductors and repeatedly raped by one of them. 5 men have been accused in the attack. Authorities say 2 have been detained and are being held for further investigation. The 2 men insist they're innocent and say the incident was nothing more than a tribal settlement by marriage to resolve a family dispute. All of the accused are Afghan local police, or ALP, in northern Kunduz province.
Trained by American special forces, the ALP was formed to protect civilians in Afghanistan's badlands, areas where inadequate security forces struggle to fight the insurgents. And while the ALP technically falls under the Interior Ministry's control, human rights activists charge the mostly illiterate recruits receive minimal training and that they're a de facto militia that creates as many problems as it solves.
Critics of the ALP say the growing power of these armed militias is unchecked, that many of its 13,000 members are criminals and former Taliban and have been accused of serious human rights abuses and violent crimes.
They're really cutting them for, monitoring their operation, the way they do operate. And in many cases, they don't respect the rule of law. They end up violating human rights.
Supporters of the ALP acknowledge there have been problems, but counter criticism of the group by insisting it's been effective in combating the raging insurgency.
You know, this is Afghanistan. Most villages do not have schools where they could be literate. But at the same time, what they need to be trained is they need to fight incendies. That's their ultimate job. They're not enforcing law in their areas.
Officials point to the detention of 2 of the 5 men as proof they're serious about Lal Bibi's case. But women's rights groups contend that even if the men are sentenced, they'll most probably get off lightly. Afghanistan's harsh tribal justice often trumps the country's legal system. Victimized women like Lal Bibi know they're blamed for the abuse and sexual violence they've suffered and expect little to no mercy. So Lal Bibi has gone into hiding, uncertain of her fate. Mohammed Jamjoum, CNN.
Well, from what we already know about what goes on there, she's saying, this mother is saying to the government, come and kill my daughter, because I can't live in the shame of the fact that she's been raped. So the mother's saying that to the government, come kill my daughter. Meanwhile, if the government doesn't kill the daughter, the father probably will. Because she was raped. I don't think we belong in that part of the world. There's no way that our thinking can ever come together at all. It's just not possible. I want more. Can you imagine a 115-year marriage coming to an end? Have you ever heard of such a thing? When it's going, you're not going to. Pause and refreshes.
You would need a necrom, too, if your 115-year marriage just broke up. No more happy anniversaries. For Bibi and Foldy, these two giant tortoises of Zoo in Austria are both said to be 115 years old, and they were brought up together. It was love on the rocks after Bibi the female took a chunk out of her mate's shell.
They just go at each other. At first, it was only the female who attacked the male and bit him, but now you get the feeling they can't stand the sight of each other.
They don't even want to be in the same enclosure. Zookeepers don't understand what went wrong after 115 years of togetherness. The people posting online have plenty of theories. Every time she wanted to talk about the relationship, he retreated into his shell. My guess is she caught him making eyes at the 90-year-old bimbo in the enclosure next door. He gave the wrong answer when she asked, "Does my bum look big in the shell?" What makes this breakup even more ironic is the song, made famous by a certain singing group. Who could forget the Turtles?
So happy together.
Now it's happy apart from these tortoises. Talk about irreconcilable differences.
There's always the danger that they will bite each other so hard that one of them will bleed to death.
On the bright side, 115 years sure beats Kim Kardashian's 72 days of matrimony. We haven't been this distraught about a breakup since Pedro and Buddy, the so-called big penguins at the Toronto Zoo, were separated by keepers and put into a breeding program. Dee and Poldy are taking marriage counseling of sorts. Zookeepers are trying to inject a little fun back into the relationship by getting them to play games together. Imagine 115, single again, looking for a hot tomato. Gino, CNN, and New York.
That's funny. I think that's funny. That was funny. I agree with you on that right now. About 8 minutes before the hour two is our time. Here, Bill. And we'll see why I'm not getting through it today. Apple's trying to map its own future. It's, it was nothing with Google. New mobile operating system bumps Google Maps, introducing its own roadmap app that includes turn-by-turn directions, so they're just trying to go around and that's very interesting. The heck was it about Google? I want to tell you about. There's something going on with Google that's new. That's not going to be a moment. This is really kind of weird. This is from the Sacramento Bee. This is an opinion they wrote, a perspective. And they said that what they're trying to do is that the Silicon Valley, this is Google. Google's there here to build a very bad. Google's promoting a concept of the cars that actually drive themselves. And so what they want to do is they want to get permission to just have the cars, first they'll have operators, be there in case of emergency, and then eventually they'll just have cars that drive themselves, which is called a train. Anyway, there's what they were trying to do. But here's what this State Senator Alex Padilla of Los Angeles is carrying a bill that allowed Google and other companies to test and operate such vehicles. Lawmakers should take a good look at the idea, but they shouldn't fall in love with it. Listen to this. Padilla engineering by training isn't giving Google everything at once, and that's reasonable. Google isn't really seeing legislation that would permit cars to operate on that pilot with licensed drivers in the driver's seat who could override the computer emergency. Company wants more, in essence, drone vehicles that could operate without some of the driver's seat. Sort of sound like Luddite, but that's a bit much, at least for now. That is Luddite-ish. Is that a word? It is Luddite-ish. How did we never get anywhere unless we start somewhere? We would never have anything. We'd still be, in a cave and we'd be drawn on the sides of the dinosaurs. That's what we'd be. So, to say, you gotta be really careful about what you let them do, obviously, they gotta first prove it on a proving ground somewhere, I would imagine, and then they go ahead and they start to experiment with it. Well, not now, they're saying not now. If not now, when? If not when, who? If not who, why? However, how that goes. That'd be important. Okay. And something that wasn't mentioned today was Romney revives the talk of vouchers. And I'm not getting into that. I'm not going to. Today's been dramatic enough. I'm not going to get into that right there. Okay. And then they mentioned the news of this town in Millboro, Massachusetts. If you swear in public, you can get fined. $20. Now, here's what I need to know. Is it $20 per word, or is it like, if you say 10 bad words in a row, like you're a sailor, I know how it is, then, is that going to cost you, $200? I'll have to clarify that before I start swearing there. All right. There it is right there. It's official in Australia that Dingo took her baby. All right. And then you had the story yesterday, and this is in the news again today, about the poor, the guy's writing a book about, what's it called? The book is called The Happiest, what is it called? Kindness in America. Kindness in America, the guy's in Montana, he approaches a car, he thinks the guy's off the ride, the guy shoots him in the arm. And so it's a little bit sad, really. And so people are wondering what the heck's going on. And of course, he is too. And so he says, "Hey, thanks for nothing."
Thank you for being.